Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and being part of this experience. I know we get new listeners all the time, people who burn through episodes to catch up to where we are at. And to our new listeners, to our old listeners alike, I say welcome. Now get off my lawn. So before we get into our adventure, last week we ended with our group inside of a cave where they found many a potion and many a different things in there. And we were talking and speculating. And in the last week while we were away, we've looked up all this stuff.
Right.
A whole week.
Yes.
So, Rodrigo, is there some clarifications we need to give?
Yeah. The way that sort of these hurled attack potions work is they come with their own bonus and they do not factor in any of your abilities. So any person who throws a level 11 Alchemist Frost is going to get a plus 14 bonus to the attack.
Wow. Okay. I thought it was...
Yeah, I was, because I was reading the level 1 version.
Okay. So in the level 1 version, it was your dex plus bonus.
I thought that you added your dex because plus 4 was too low.
Oh, okay, but that's because it was the level 1. So this is a straight plus 14 attack.
Yep.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So instead of giving them to Aurum, I'm actually going to give 2 to Torque.
So I have none?
Yes.
Bastard.
Torque wants burst.
Thanks, Kit.
Torque wants burst because he can mark everything he attacks in the burst.
Does it work?
Burst.
Yes, it does.
You don't look this up.
This is not a burst weapon.
Oh.
It's not?
It's a single target.
Chemical item, volatile, key skiller, counter, thievery, time, power, cold, consumable, make an attack, ranged, 5-10, plus 4 versus reflex. On a hit, the target takes 1d10 cold damage and is slowed. So it's a single target attack.
Oh, the fire is the burst one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's less fun.
Yes.
The Ket giveth and the Ket taketh away.
Yep.
I don't care.
I really do picture like Ket handing them out and then being like...
No.
Yeah, he like Ket hands them out, and he's like, "All right, I'm giving."
And here's
like Randus is standing by him, right? And you know, obviously, you can certainly tell me that this is not like obvious. Randus is standing over here, and he hands to the trail to the Aurum, and says, and like turns to Randus and says, "Was like, oh, it's because you know they're probably gonna be the most limber." And then Randus says something like, "Well, actually, the." The bottles themselves are enchanted, so it doesn't matter who throws them.
Oh,
at which point he takes them away and like gives them to Torque and is like, oh, because that way we'll be, you know, the thing will spread out. And it's like, well, actually... There's only so much that goes out. If you go out over a large area, blah, 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 nerd talk, he just like takes two away and just keeps one, hands the other one to Randus.
So Aurum has 0. Ket has 1, Randus has 1, and Trell has 2.
Yeah, you know, I'm imagining I took 1 away from each Torque and Trell to give to Randus.
All right.
So everybody but Aurum has 1.
That's fine.
Because of
Engaging
Randus.
Engaging retcon.
I know, I think it's completely in canon that Ket gave and gave it.
Yeah, totally.
The Ket
I also picture everybody just like, standing around Ket with like just like making palms, and he just like keeps taking them and putting them back, and you know everybody's like possibly just thinking about something else that they're gonna do later while Ket figures this out.
So the question
they
that
used
I
used to play this game with shells and a pea in them. No.
So the question that I have is: this place has probably not been empty for a long time. And we're going to be here for a while. Do you think anyone might be coming back?
Maybe not so much with the crowd of golden kind outside. They would probably not be willing to try to come this way.
So if we peek out, can we see the golden kind? Are they amassing again?
They're keeping a perimeter.
Okay.
The thing is, though, you know how they've keep like hitting you guys with rivers?
Mm-hmm.
There's that problem.
There isn't. This is high ground. This is probably the highest you've been so far. Ooh. So whoever picked this out, picked out a really good spot for that.
Mm. Almost like they did it on purpose.
Hmm.
Well, we're camping.
Well, this area is pretty large. You said 10, 20 miles?
The rock face. The rock face is.
The rock face.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, they might just be around in this rock face area. How big is the cold area?
100 yards.
That's about 100 yards.
Mm. I mean, the rock face would probably provide cover from the golden kind, and it seems like they're pretty well prepared given what potions they have.
And the other things in here.
Mm-hmm. There's not like an empty slot for a weapon, is there?
Yeah. The
oh, good question.
The weapon racks look like they each would hold 5 weapons, but there were 2 of them and 3 weapons in one and 2 in the other.
Hmm.
So 5 are out.
5 sets of chain shirts, 5 extra swords, 11 potions. Nope, that doesn't work.
Maybe this is one of the... Master Althorn said he sent out some of his people out and didn't hear back from him. Maybe these are them?
Could be.
Or just more survivors, like, you know, mm-hmm. like Whitestone. Is that what it was called?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh.
Where his parents are.
Sounds good.
Not my parents.
Where her girlfriend's parents are.
Yes. There you go.
Where his sister's parents are.
Yes. That's better. Well, I guess let's set up a little camp here, and we're going to be here for a while.
You guys set up a little camp.
As we're getting ready to start the fire, do we notice, is it completely... Or do we? Are there embers underneath?
Are they there? Yeah, I mean, well, it has been cleaned.
Okay, so no coals.
No leftover stuff.
Okay,
but you actually can find some coal around.
Sure, but I was asking because again, yep, how long have people been gone from this place?
Nope, it's been clearly deliberately cleaned, but it's hard to tell if it was cleaned because they were leaving. Or if it's clean because they're neat freaks.
Mm, okay. So, well,
also the problem of we've been in here long enough with the hunks of White Queen or Winter Queen that any embers would be frozen anyways.
They are frosted over.
Okay.
Are we going to be able to start a fire?
Well, fires don't stop just because it's cold.
Yeah, magical cold.
There's no such thing as cold. There's only the absence of heat.
Point of order. In D&D, there's such a thing as cold.
Yes. Lies. Lies and prevarications. Stephen Hawking is very, very upset with you.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to try and make a fire.
That's why I didn't invite him to my D&D game.
Yes.
Plus, he sucks at it.
He also complains about the hypotenuse of right triangles in 4th edition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. He hates moving in diagonals. So, starting a fire then?
Yep, starting a fire, yes. Hanging out.
It's difficult, but you start a fire.
Yeah.
And it, right. You know, with actual coal, it actually burns really, really nicely.
Nice.
Is it enough to keep us, keep the coal at bay so that the,
well,
elemental effects can expire?
Not really.
All right.
It's enough that if you get to where, like, normally to where you would be uncomfortably close to the fire,
right,
you can feel the heat there.
All right.
Anything slightly outside of that, just it's just cold.
So
another 20 gold pieces.
Hmm?
So I can cast the endure elements.
For another day.
And we've got another day of not suffering the ill effects of the cold.
You said we're slowly running out of...
The Endure Elements is only 20 gold pieces, yeah, so
that we can
we've
run
got
on
plenty. We can run for months on that.
Okay, so although right. The question is, what will be our plan from here? Shall we...
Oh, I forgot. You guys also find some money here.
What? How much money?
So we're worried about the items if they come back, but the money, you're like, oh, totally ours.
I don't think we should take their money.
We could leave a note. IOU.
We're taking their potions.
We'll say that, you know, you guys, as underneath the chain, there were these essentially big binders full of different types of coins of different denominations and sizes, as well as a few boxes with jewels in them. A rough appraisal, which is, of course, completely perfect, is about 14,840 gold.
Roughly.
Roughly. Also exactly.
Yeah. And it should be noted that much as the laws are different when it comes to gold, the laws of D&D state that as long as there's no one in the room, everything is yours.
I mean, that is...
That also counts if they're dead. There's technically no one in the room, so even if they have things on their person,
oh,
it's yours.
It's not even that. Well, if you kill them by the laws of D&D, their stuff is yours.
Yeah.
Right. Or if you happen upon them after having been killed.
Uh-huh. Or, you know, just drunk and passed out.
Yeah. Right. Killed, quote unquote. I was like, well, this guy's reputation is dead.
Someone who's a heavy sleeper.
Yes.
Yep.
This is why we don't have any rogues in the party.
Them, yep. But we can't just steal people's stuff. I don't think he's a
we
hunter.
Don't even know if they're coming back.
Morally speaking, we have to kill them before we take their things.
Yeah.
Do you guys take the money?
Don't do it.
Hell yeah, I want cheesy puffs.
Did you accept a potion?
That is a good point. We did already start taking their stuff.
Oh.
At the very least.
Did you try out one of their swords and decide it wasn't for you?
I touched it and tried it out just to see how it was as a connoisseur.
And decide it wasn't for you.
Yeah.
Not because it was someone else's, but because yours is obviously better.
What I said was that mine was better.
As adventurers, sometimes we have a loose grasp of personal possessions. We kind of lose sight of that concept, but...
Okay,
so there was an old Eladrin saying, finders keepers, losers.
Okay, wait. Okay.
Cry a lot.
What I'm just wanting to find out here from everybody is...
Finders keepers, and a torrent of tears to the loser.
Yes.
Zero qualms about taking all of their items, but we're questioning taking their money.
Okay, wait a second. One, we do have a very important quest, but we have to also consider if these people are probably on our side, right? So we might want to consider what will happen if they come back while we're here.
Okay.
Practically speaking, whatever your ethics on the matter are.
So both sides of this argument have merit. However, argument to the one side, we took their stuff. No, this is me talking.
Okay.
No, this is all in character.
This
right
has
now.
To be in character.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
this is a scene.
Okay. What I'm trying to say here is we're perfectly willing to take their useful items that they might be coming back to obtain and, you know, might need as they come rushing in here being chased by some horrid gold-headed beast.
I think we weren't really thinking about them. This being
maybe
other people's items.
But we have qualms with taking their money.
We have qualms
maybe
about both situations there,
back.
Kat, just because we were a little short-sighted in our eagerness to look through the different stuff.
Yeah, what Randa said.
I mean, now that we are actually thinking about it, we probably shouldn't take all of their potions or any other equipment they may need.
What if we make them die? They're taking all their stuff.
They could be useful. They could be on a quest now to gather other parts.
Honestly, the stuff they have here kind of looks like they're another party
ahead of us.
They could very well be. They may have left her shoulder here to protect this from their golden kind.
Yes, they could have.
I'm just questioning the fact that no one said a word when we started handling their things, but as soon as we touched their money...
We weren't thinking about it until the money.
You weren't thinking about it.
Yeah.
Were you thinking about it?
Yes.
Do you want the
money? Well, you didn't say anything.
I wouldn't mind having the money. But if we're going to have qualms about taking their stuff, I think we would be better off not.
I think not is probably the best route.
Trell?
What's the question?
Yay or nay?
To which one?
Take their money?
Are we taking anything or not?
No, are we taking their money? Not are we taking
Okay, I don't think we should take their money.
All right. Everybody give me your potions.
Will do.
Torque? We're not done voting. Everybody gets a vote. Torque, I know that's not how you do it in the back alleys of...
I know what your vote's going to be. I know what my vote is. It was basically hers. And okay, I'll give Torque's.
Why mine?
Torque?
We had to dig our way in here.
So?
So, it seems to me that there ain't anybody been here recent-like, because we had to dig our way in here.
So you're saying this should all be a reward for us? Because we dug our way in here?
I think he's saying that he doesn't think the people are alive.
I'm saying that I don't know nothing about no people who may or may not even be here. And I think that this... I don't know why we talk so much, quite frankly. We talk a lot, and we talk, and we talk, and we talk. Whatever we do, let's just do it.
Tell you what, why don't everybody take a nap? Take a sleep, whatever that you do. And in the morning, when you're all rested and your heads are clear and you feel refreshed and you're fueled to 100% power, we can discuss it again before we leave.
All right.
So we put the potions back?
Yes.
So that in case someone does show up, they don't see that we've swiped all their stuff?
Exactly.
That's probably the better option right now.
Very well.
All right, so who puts the potions back?
We all do.
Okay.
Yeah. So all those potions are handed out are not handed out anymore.
We are a very fickle group.
The potion handing out episode.
Yes.
The division of wealth.
This episode should be called The Potion Commotion.
Ah, I like that one. All right.
That's a good one.
So, yeah, strike the potions of invulnerability and Alchemist Frost from your character sheets for now. If you decide to pick them up later, we'll write them up again.
Okay. Out of character, I would have taken the potions times a million. Times a billion. I would have taken all their crap and all their swords, even the chainmail that we don't even care about. Even the swords that we don't even care about.
Out of character, this is probably one of the rewards we're supposed to be getting for level, and I was going to be throwing Randa's chain shirts all night so we could make a...
Residuum.
Residuum.
I understand that practically. Yeah,
see, now you're thinking on a metagame level.
Part
and,
for, yeah. of us yeah. to, sure, pr- sure. to have these things.
I mean,
things.
He played it right. So, watch us.
First watch.
Sounds
there
like
you
a
go.
Team. You guys want to discuss it?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Paper, pencil.
Papers, pencil laying around.
Do I have it?
No, in the.
Is room. There anything to write on?
Anything to write on?
I'm pretty
you
sure
have,
we
you have stuff to write
oh,
on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. You and I most definitely probably have.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Parchment and writing utensils.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, well, oh.
Ink. I see.
That you meant it in reality.
Has something to write on and with to just.
Or a guy.
Or a guy.
No, you have. You can have stuff right. to write on. Guy doesn't need to write anything.
Yeah. He is. Perfect memory.
Yep.
Eidetic memory. A book it without books.
But you don't.
He doesn't write the books.
Not true. Okay.
He learns the
he
books.
He keeps your books.
Aha.
So I probably have a couple of things on there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow. So are we just doing a paired watch, or?
We can do a paired watch. I'm fine with that.
Sounds
all right.
Like the typical.
Oh, God.
Okay. Everybody who's aware during the first watch, give me a perception check.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay.
Now Charles, let's talk aware, about how we're going to talk.
Kidding me. Plus two.
Yeah.
Whoever.
Oh, goody.
Orym.
24.
Cat.
25.
Trell.
25. Did you guys add your plus two?
Yes.
Yes.
So 60% of the party is awake?
Yep.
I'm always awake.
Yeah. Orym's always awake.
So 50% of the party. Oh.
Yeah, I think that's a general idea.
50%. Well.
All right. So you guys are keeping watch, hanging out, being uncomfortably cold, but not so much that your skin starts to fall off or anything like that.
Oh, but no, I've cast the
I know
spell, so
that's why we're uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yep.
But not.
So it's Ket, Orym, Trell?
Yes.
Well, you two are on watch. I am on Orym time.
Right, right.
This is my time. That's your time.
Okay,
I'm writing
I'm
writing some stuff.
She's going to cuddle pretty close with Ket. Make sure he stays warm.
Meh. I have my stick. Twig.
Yep.
The watch twig.
Watch twig.
I had to move it to a different column when I was writing down potions because it got in the way.
It got in the way of the potions. You always have to do that. You know, you get
like a Diablo when you're
moving. Yeah, you have to. You don't want to put too many sticks in a row, otherwise you end up with like a torch or something.
When I had a space between the five healing potions that I still have and the twig, mm-hmm. but I got two potions.
Yeah.
So then it was going to be. You can't split up the potions.
Yeah. All right. So
you. Just you.
What?
It's all right. Rob's many, many debilitating quirks.
Many.
Anyway, you guys are keeping watch. And as you are keeping watch, Trell starts to feel a little sleepy.
So she's going to kind of like lean on Ket more.
Okay. As you lean on him, you notice that he just kind of gives, like he doesn't completely flop over, but you pretty easily like push him and kind of into an uncomfortable, like, you know, if you're sitting down and your like your shoulder starts to get kind of perpendicular to the ground kind of thing, or his does.
Oh, Ket? You sleep?
When you look over at him, he just has this completely glazed look.
Ah!
Been sneaking the donuts again.
Everyone wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up!
What?
Wake up, wake up!
Nobody
Something
wakes
wrong,
up.
Ket.
No. Never mind.
Is Orym awake? Because I was writing.
No.
Oh, okay.
Ket's sick.
Nobody responds. Well, you're not snoring. You're just kind of out of distance. Yep.
I look around, trying to figure out what's going on.
Freezing right. to my face.
Yep. Trell looks around. Sorry. Done. Trell looks around, and she does a pat. Basically, looks from her left to her right across the whole cave, and then on the second pass, basically going from her right to her left, there is a creature standing in the cave there with her right at the entrance. It is a it is humanoid. It has blue skin, is wearing a really nice coat, and has these two big tusks coming out of his face. He is probably all of 5'4" at most. Trell, I'm Adriana, you do recognize
me? Yes, this? Yes, okay. You can tell by the horror in my voice.
Okay.
Well, that's normal.
Yeah,
he is standing there, and when you look at him, he kind of looks over at you, does a double take, and looks back and says, "Well, you're not supposed to be awake."
Oh, hello again.
Hello, miss. How does the evening find you?
Strange right now.
Hmm.
She kind of puts her hands on her hips. Where's your boss?
He is out exploring. We are really enjoying this little trip. It had become very difficult to move around into the other locations of the Feywild, but you've really facilitated this for us.
I see. So, what did you do to my friends?
Oh, nothing. This is mostly because we don't want them to be distressed. Of course, my lord is quite frightening to a lot of different creatures. Not knowing how they would react, he figured it would be easier to do this. And of course, he doesn't want to cause you any mental strain.
Right. Okay, so I'm to understand that you've been kind of traveling around with us, with me.
It's more like we use that connection that you have with my lord to move around to the areas where you are, yes?
So what are you guys doing? Are you just kind of looking around and...
Well,
traveling around, vacation?
Yes, it's the Baltanok, of course, enjoys traveling, meeting new creatures, and of course, at times, devouring them, as the case may be.
Right.
He has a very discerning taste, and he has quite enjoyed this. That is why he decided to extend the nature of your pact with him. And of course, allow you to reap the benefits.
What do you mean? Reap what benefits?
Well, you've done it before. As we use your mind to travel, so too you can use the Baltanok's connection to you to travel. I'm sure you felt it. Disappear from one place, appear in another. Feel the soft down of the Baltanok wrapped around you.
So... Charles' chest is probably, like, rising and falling, like, pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So she inhales, like, pretty hard mm-hmm. when he says that. Oh. Yeah, I did feel that. What exactly is the nature of our pact?
Well... He can use, it's so difficult to describe in layman's terms.
Right.
It's like he put a door in your head that he can always walk through. And in turn, you can walk along his coils.
So she's kind of biting her lip. That doesn't sound so bad.
No, no. It is a wonderful gift. In fact, it's much more generous, certainly more equitable than other pacts that my lord has made.
Are you part of a pact?
No, you do not have any sort of pact with me. But
no, I mean, do you have a pact with him?
Hmm? No. I simply serve him.
So are you a greater fae too?
A greater fae.
Are you something like him?
Oh, of course not. He is incredibly powerful. I am a mere servant. Mm-hmm. The minor miracles that I can work are nothing compared to the things that he can do. Ah.
So he's just kind of wandering around right now in the Fen of Winters?
Yep. He is out somewhere doing whatever it is he does. He doesn't always bring me along on those. I think that sometimes he may move too fast for me. Sometimes he would probably eat me by accident. So he must find me valuable, and thus he keeps me here, usually right with you guys as you sleep.
So.
And he actually does little quotation marks when he says sleep.
So while we sleep, you've been kind of here with us.
Well, not every time.
Not every time.
No. We actually found the Fields of Autumn to be quite enjoyable and had spent a good deal of time there. We only just now decided to come back. Lots of fascinating things over there. All of these little patchwork plants. Who knows what they're for? And a strange kind of crystalline statue of a headless person. Very strange.
Oh, I know what that is.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
Those were these weird headless horsemen that I guess the Autumn King made. And it's like, while she's talking about this, she kind of calms down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we guess the Autumn King made them, and they attacked us, and we killed them, and one of them... one of my friends froze. And so that's why he's a statue. And the patchwork fields and stuff, those are that's food. Food plants, I think, is what you're referring to.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. Farming.
Yes, that. Agriculture.
Ah, yes. The Baltanok is quite fond of farming. Also,
he is?
Well, farmers. With their little sticks with sharp things in the end, and those little holes they make in the ground, and
yes,
the things they put inside them, and
right,
the way that they walk towards their cottages and close the door, and then maybe start a fire. He really likes that. He likes that part.
Right. Well, you guys haven't had any trouble with the golden kind people? I mean, they're pretty dangerous. Is he being careful? Are you safe doing this?
I'm safe here, I think. I haven't seen any golden kind.
Really?
Well, not since I've been here.
How long have you been here? Like, minutes?
A couple hours, I suppose.
Oh, geez. Well, you see this cold area that we're in?
Mm-hmm.
Is she kind of, how far away is he from her?
At this point, he's probably a good, like, two long trail steps from her.
Okay.
Like, he's walked up to her, he's keeping, like, he's being very respectful, and, you know, clearly, like, he, and this is something that Trell is not terribly familiar with, but you're probably aware that he's a servant, and he is treating you like you are at least one notch above that.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you know, a shih tzu.
Yes, yes. Great. So she goes over to him and just takes his hand,
mm-hmm,
and kind of walks him out of the cave and points around at the area. Like, okay, well, you see this this cold area. So beyond that, there should be really scary things with golden helmet things. And they're called the golden kind. Do you know what those are?
No, I had never heard of such a thing.
Okay, well, Orm told me that a long time ago, before there was winter, there were these awful things called the golden kind.
Uh-huh.
And they are these creatures that don't like cold, and they she's really bad at telling the story. It's like it's the worst told mm-hmm. story ever. Okay, so then the Winter Queen came well, she was kind of, I think she kind of developed, and she's kind of why we have Winter, is that she got rid of these golden kind things, and they're pretty really vicious. So, I mean, I know that the Baltanak is very powerful, but these things are like, they, well, I think they broke apart. I'm not sure if they broke apart the Winter Queen or if she fell apart because of everything that was going on, or both. Anyways, they're really dangerous. They destroyed that city over there.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
That's fascinating. Thank you for telling me all of that.
But be careful, okay?
Certainly. No, I personally usually do not get to hear stories, so I'm very happy that we had this time to talk. Is there anything I can tell you?
Do you somehow know where other pieces of the Winter Queen are?
What do those look like?
Like, icy sort of... Like, okay, if you took a person...
Mm-hmm.
And froze it...
Now, you are, like, you are a person.
Yes.
Okay.
So, like...
I'm picturing something that looks like you. Is that okay?
That's absolutely okay.
Okay.
So, like, me, but maybe taller, bigger, and, like, if you took me, like, a meaty person made of, you know, meat and stuff, and froze it, and then... broke that ice statue into a bunch of bits.
Oh.
Yeah, that's kind of... I think that's what happened to her.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, without one of those shards, I don't think I could find it.
I think they'd get really mad at me if I, if I showed you. I wouldn't have to give it to you.
No, I suppose you wouldn't have to. I could just have a look at it.
Just to look at it. Well, what would you want in return for helping?
Oh, nothing. I'm not, my servitude does not allow me to make packs. I'm only doing this, because, you've been kind to me and I would like to help you. And because if it gets you someplace new, the Baltanok will be very happy to travel there too as well, I would imagine.
She smiles at him.
Now, by the way, he talks really well for somebody that has big tusks coming out of his face. Like, he doesn't slur his words at all.
Mm-hmm. Like a big bassy voice for a little man?
Or yeah, a little he's got a good voice. He's like, I mean, well, I wouldn't say he's got a big bass, but he's got a pleasant voice. He's like a tenor. Like, he's, okay. But not like a, what's like the next one?
Alto?
Yeah. He's not quite that high, but, you know, he's got a pleasant, like, manly, but not, like, super deep voice. Just, okay. You know.
So she takes his hand and leads him back in.
Okay.
All right. And I think Ket's holding the shoulder.
Yeah, I think Ket had the shoulder.
Okay.
Did you put it somewhere else? Did you put it in
my bag, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know if I would have... given it to Orym, or if Orym would have...
No, you would give Orym the cold shoulder.
You kept it.
I've seen you give Orym the cold shoulder.
Awful. Okay.
No, sir. We started.
I will give you credit and acknowledge your joke, Matthew.
How long?
And I will sell it.
That was a good one. A joke 2 weeks in the making.
Okay, she's going to dig around in Ket's bag looking for the shoulder.
Okay, you get hissed at.
Oh.
Sorry. Oh, you're awake. Hi. Well, you understand me. This is Guy.
This friend.
Short for Zelgaius. And so, guys, this is the Majordomo. He is a servant to a person whose name I shouldn't keep saying. I've only said it once so far. That's okay. But anyways, this is Ket's friend, and he assists us So guys, I'm looking for the shoulder part. Is that in there?
Guy pops out of the backpack, crawls over to on Ket's shoulder, waves a hand in front of Ket, who is just totally not non-responsive. Turns around and addresses the major domo directly, and goes, "That's an interesting way of putting it, but let me just put it this way. You know that star that no one's supposed to know about? We know about it." And Salgaias crawls back into the backpack, and a chunk of ice just flies out of it and lands on the ground.
Did he say the thing he said to Salgaias in...
In common.
Okay. So she catches that shoulder.
Okay.
What star are you talking about?
Well, probably not anything that is ever going to be relevant to you.
Well, I suppose if it's important, they'll tell me.
Certainly. I can't imagine that they would keep anything from you.
Yeah, I don't think so either. She's being perfectly
honest. Yep.
Okay, so this is this is part of her shoulder. I thought it was part of her butt, but it's not. It's part of her shoulder. This is it.
She kind of stares at him. He waves a hand over it. Oh yes, I could probably tell you where they are.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where are they?
Well, there are lots of different places.
I have a map. Okay. So she goes and gets that map. Whoever held it, or if we put it back, she's going
to get it. Yeah. I'm guessing you guys, after that conversation, tried to put everything more or less back where it was.
Yeah. So she gets the map and shows it to him.
Too small.
Oh, map's too small. This one too small too?
Well, maybe if you put all of these together, and he just kind of like holds out his hand for you to put the maps in it.
Okay, she gives them over.
Okay. He scrunches them up and then like pulls out a map made out of all of them.
Awesome.
Let's see. Well, there's one here and one here and one here, and then there's a couple here and one here, and he just keeps going and he points out about 25 different locations.
Okay, she marks with her makeup. She's marking all the little places that he says.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's a lot of places and lots of pieces. It took us so long just to get these two. This is really hard. This one's been the hardest.
This one?
Oh, yeah. We've gone to you've seen what we've done yet, right?
We could have, but a lot of it is boring.
She just kind of laughs. Not that hard, but she laughs a little bit. Well, all right. I guess the golden kind's making travel in this area pretty difficult. So it'll probably be a little slower going for you guys.
I see what you're saying. Yes. Good to know. I think the Baltanok likes it just fine here. There are lots of things to interact with. He is quite happy. I think he is very interested in mud right now.
I like mud too.
There's a lot of that going on. Well, you have a lot in common with the Baltanok.
That's true. Well, at least that.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have in common?
Oh, hands.
That's true. We both do have hands.
He points at your hair. He's got a lot of green on him.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
He also enjoys killing things.
Okay. I mean... Normally I'd say I don't really enjoy killing things. I enjoy hunting them. Mm. It's a little different.
So the ritual beforehand is what makes it appealing.
Yeah, it's the activity, not the actual, you know, killing blow, you know?
Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. It's when they try to run away, right? He enjoys that as well.
No, I mean, it's about, well, hold up my arm to him. So you see this tattoo?
Mm-hmm.
So this
yes, we're quite aware of it. And he kind of moves his fingers in the air, and your tattoo just absolutely reacts to it and starts shifting around.
What are you doing?
Hmm?
What are you doing?
Oh, I was just playing with it.
Well, do you know what it does?
Oh, it does lots of things.
Right.
And it has the potential to do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's very personal magic.
Yes. But,
it really facilitates your travel through the coils.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, you know, as a guardian, I'm supposed to, there's a certain balance to things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, balance, yes.
Right, like, you know how Twilight's like that middle ground between, you know, night and day, right?
Yes.
So, a lot of it's about maintaining balance. And when you hunt the correct things, you are part of, like, this bigger thing that keeps a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. It's very, I don't know, relaxing.
Oh. Well, that's good to hear.
What do you like to do? Anything like that?
I enjoy serving the Baltanok.
Ah.
He is a good master.
Well, that's good. It's good that you enjoy your work.
Oh, yes. It's quite enjoyable.
Do you know why I woke up this time? And didn't, you know, why I'm not like the others right now?
No, that was my fault, and I may well get in trouble for it.
Oh, I hope not.
I'm the one who's supposed to keep you dormant.
Dormant.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Baltanok can do it as well, but he's entrusted that task to me, and I failed at it. So I'm sure some form of punishment is coming, unless he had a really good time. If he managed to kill something, I'm sure he'll be more than happy.
Hopefully he kills a golden kind thing. There's plenty of those. Actually, I think it's statistically likely that if he kills anything, it'll be one of the things that are troubling to us right now. So I guess that's fine. There are a lot of them around.
Well, we're about to find out. Trell can hear something dragging along the ground, just this very smooth movement, just slightly louder, slightly quieter, clearly something that's slithering back and forward, kind of in the way that a snake would.
Right.
And the everyone else in the room every once in a while just kind of gives a weird spastic shudder as the sound gets louder. Just every once in a while, Orym will flinch, Torque will flinch, Ket will drop his stick. And pretty soon, occupying pretty much the entirety of the entrance is a long serpentine creature. It is covered mostly in green feathers, but has red, blue, and yellow feathers as well. Has two long, gray, spindly arms with big claws. And right where its head would be is kind of a dog-like creature's skull just kind of stuck there. Like, there's no neck or anything. If anything, it looks like he has a very flat face and a mask on it.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, which of course Trell recognizes as the Baltanok, walks in. He is carrying in one hand, kind of cradled into his body, this corpse, apparently, of a some sort of humanoid. It is clearly an Eladrin, and as he walks or slithers into the cave, this the thing that he's carrying just kind of starts breaking apart into glowy kind of filigree of lights, and those lights will bloom into flowers as this creature just kind of falls apart completely, leaving only a kind of a padded jacket and some pants and some clothes basically behind, which then fall apart except for the jacket, which the Baltanok is holding. And the Baltanok stops and very confused looks down at it and literally grabs the jacket and like shakes it a little bit, and some flowers come out. and then appears to have lost interest and then just lets go of the jacket and slithers closer to Trell.
So Trell, like, at all of this, since she knows what's happening there, she puts her hands over her mouth, mm-hmm. and is just staring really hard at the flowers and, I mean, the whole thing that happened with the corpse.
Yes. It appears that my lord, the Baltanok, did in fact find a quarry that he liked.
Oh. Oh.
My lord, I deeply apologize for letting Trell wake up, but she has been telling me the most wonderful stories, which I will then relate to you at your leisure. The Baltanok doesn't make any noise. He just looks over at Trell.
She's still looking at the flowers, like a little bit distracted looking.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Again.
It just continues to stare at her. Well, presumably, I mean, just big holes.
Right, right.
Skull.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't know what to say. I'm a little,
Oh, he says you don't have to say anything. This whole situation is entirely my fault, and he will discipline me for it.
Oh, no,
you can go right
don't.
Back to sleep.
No, please, please.
And the Baltanok, like, holds out his hands, like he's expecting you to put something in them, and you just, like, get complete vertigo and just lose your footing and start falling forward into them. Mm-hmm. And you see his fingers open up as basically your face falls right into his hands. And you snap out of it, kind of catch yourself falling forward and stabilize yourself. The player characters are now in the cave. There is, however, a small accumulation of flowers over there.
Are the others awake?
Yeah, the two of you guys, you definitely saw Trell stand up and then kind of stumble forward.
Hmm. Two of us?
Yep.
Has there been a... Well, what am I writing with?
Quill.
Pencil? Quill?
Presumably.
Ink?
I mean, unless you think you'd write with something else.
Well, I was thinking ink.
Yeah,
is there anything noticeable about when I look down on my paper?
Mm-mm.
So there's not a big spreading ink mass. All right. Everything okay, Trell?
She's trembling. No.
Do we see flowers on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, where'd those flowers come from?
She starts crying.
You dropped your stick, apparently, at some point.
What happened?
Oh, you found a jacket.
Lots of crying. Boots.
Oh, cool boots.
Don't touch them.
Why not?
Where did all this come from?
Yeah, did...
Why is my twig on the ground?
So much.
Did the shoulder get put back?
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, Torque and Randus can wake up at this because they're actually making a lot of noise. And you guys are not very far away from them. So it's up to you.
There is a bawling elf. I don't know if that wakes people.
Yeah. Well, elves are always very quiet. Up.
What's going on?
We don't know.
Trill found a boot in a coat. And there's some flowers over there.
This seems to upset her to some degree.
Okay.
I don't know why. Those flowers are very pretty.
Kat, what'd you say to her?
Okay. I'm not sure where to start. Okay. One, the flowers are dead Eladrin.
What?
I don't know if you know this about... you know how we've been to a bunch of messed up cities and things and we haven't seen any bodies?
Yeah.
No Eladrin bodies laying strewn about, blood covered. It's because when Eladrin die, they don't, you know, go to the Shadowfell or anything the way that everyone else does. They kind of turn into... They go back into the Feywild. They don't leave a body.
Well, yeah, of course.
Right.
That's why you guys haven't found any bodies.
Yeah. So, that's why, you know...
Like, Orym knows this. I don't know if he ever communicated it to the rest of you. Like, if the rest of you guys had never heard this before, then that's perfectly fine as well.
So,
I'm assuming I would have...
Would you? Maybe. I mean...
Or grandma still alive.
Probably, but, you know, you don't call, you don't write.
So,
get whisked away on adventure suddenly.
Yeah, well. So how do you know Deligen are dead?
Because I saw one of them die.
When?
Okay, I think I told you before that I had an encounter with, a greater fae before I met with you guys.
Uh-huh.
You know how I've been traveling around the Feywild?
Yeah.
And, it's been going fairly well, the traveling thing. So, I think that, you know how I did that kind of Eladrin step thing the other day?
Yes.
So, the reason I'm getting pretty good at that is because of this greater fae thing, kind of using my head to travel around, is what I gathered. So.
What?
I don't quite get it either, but I'm helping him travel around, and he's totally happy about that, and he's using me to travel around. And
why are you waiting until now to tell us about this?
I just this moment, his major domo, his servant, he is supposed to keep us. He keeps at least me dormant, is what he said, and he made some kind of mistake and left me awake, and so I was able to see him and talk to him, and then the Greater Fae came in and he had one of the Eladrin and they were dead and they turned into flowers and that's their clothes.
So that means, looking over at the pile of flowers,
yeah, two dead
we're not
going
to get very much help.
I don't know. I mean,
so
I
did you free stuff?
So is this Major Domo fellow willing to help us out at all?
Well, so again, really bad at explaining stories and telling stories. So
we've noticed.
I showed him I told him a story, and he was grateful. So he and she holds up the map, the mega map that he made.
Trell holds up a new map.
Do 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 do.
So you
now
see
you only need the compass. Yes.
So you see where I put my makeup and stuff. That's where he said the other parts of her are.
That's a and lot of stuff.
There's
a lot of pieces.
7 pieces of her?
5 pieces.
And so, he's not willing to help us get out there or help us get back. If he's
Greater Fae.
I think he's already helping us.
Major Domo didn't say anything about Greater Fae.
Okay, listen. Interacting with these guys is really dangerous because the Greater Fae guy, he sometimes forgets not to eat people, even people he likes. Okay?
Mm.
So, yeah. And it's just dangerous. Okay, so got a map. Oh, a guy spoke to him for a second. Guy was able to stay awake through it. Okay. Maybe you could ask him questions.
Poke.
Guy comes out.
Have you been listening to this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
How much of what she's saying is what happened?
From what I can tell, all of it.
What did you talk about with him?
I'm not at liberty to discuss it.
Why did you talk with him?
He introduced us. It's impolite to talk to someone if you've been introduced. To not talk to someone if you've been introduced.
True. All right. But you can't tell me what you talked about.
Mm-mm. Sorry, lateral claws.
Lovely. Why did she introduce you?
She was looking for that ice thing that you keep in the backpack.
Oh. Okay. Why didn't you try and wake me?
Oh, I did. Well, I got a look at you, and then I knew that you were in some strange catatonic stasis. But I'm bad at fae magic.
Right. All right. You can go back. So why did you show the fae creature the shoulder?
He said, I asked if he could help us find other parts, and he said he could if he could get a look of the one part that we had. So I showed it to him.
Okay.
I didn't give it to him, I just showed it to him.
You still made a deal with a fae.
No, I didn't.
You asked him for help.
Oh, well, I gave him a story, so he felt indebted to me. So I think that's it. Anyway, he said he wasn't capable of entering into packs because he was servant. I assume it's something like what... I don't know. I just thought it was a good idea.
You know, the thing about these guys is that a lot usually when entering into packs, they don't lie. They'll twist things to make it seem better or not as dangerous or whatever, but they can't really straight up lie. Like, if this guy says this is not a pact, it can't be.
And in the past, we've been able to kind of feel it when we've entered into a something. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. I didn't feel any kind of pact happening when we were exchanging things, so I don't think so. And, you know, I'm already in deep with this other guy, so And then the other guy, so why not? You know, sure. But we got this map, and that's good. And do you, is there some kind of star thing that you guys somehow have, or you have, Kat, or something?
What?
If it's a weird secret, you don't have to tell me. Just tell me it's a secret, and you don't have to explain.
I don't know what star thing you're talking about. There's a number of different stars. I mean, I know about a lot of stars.
You guys learned about the perfect stars.
Yeah, yes. There's the twin perfect stars, but I'm pretty sure you destroyed those, didn't you?
Well, I had to, yes.
He just said star. Singular. Star. You guys got a star
Wasn't
on
the
you?
Twin perfect stars part of a group of stars?
Yeah, the perfect stars. Actually, Missy talked to you about him.
Right. Yeah, basically there's apparently a whole set of these, or different formations of perfect stars.
But you don't have any stars?
No, we utilized the twin perfect stars, what we had, to create the void bomb.
I got stars on my tattoo, and that's all I know. But he wasn't talking to me, he was talking to Gaius, Zelgaius. So, I don't know. Alright.
Okay.
So... we got this map, and he killed an Eladrin. I'm sorry. She's saying that last part to Orym.
Mm-hmm.
So are all the Eladrin from this area, this camp, gone then?
I don't know.
How many different piles of flowers are there?
There was just the one in here.
Well.
They're the same amount of flowers over there as there is over here?
Hard to tell. I mean, there might have been at some point, but they're just flowers on the ground. Some of them might have completely decomposed. Some of them the cold might have affected. And who knows? Normally, there's no actual sign to Eladrin dying, but apparently they're turning into flowers nowadays.
Oh, that's new.
So, this... being just killed all the Eladrin, or just the one?
Just, I don't know. I think it was just the one, because he's only been here for about a couple hours. So I think it was just this one.
Didn't have any trouble with the golden kind?
I asked about that, and they didn't seem to really know or care about it. I told them to be careful because of the golden kind. So, you know, I hope nothing happens to him.
Said he has a problem with eating things, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell him to eat the golden kind?
I said I hope that he did, and I didn't think it would be an issue because, you know, there's like a million golden kind, and like only, well, that's probably why he ate the Eldrin. Actually, now that I think about it. He likes...
unique?
Yes, he likes unique things. She's going to sit down again.
Well, I think it's a safe bet we can at least abscond with some of this gear.
Oh, we could take it too.
Yes.
So this Fae is going to be largely following us?
Yeah. Seems like he doesn't really care about interacting with us too much. He specifically was putting you guys to sleep, and me to sleep, because he's... Okay, you know how when I kind of... I don't know if you guys have noticed, but sometimes I might feel a little weird to you guys, like in maybe... Sometimes people call it being intense or tense, you know? So think about that feeling, but then like times a billion. Like kind of, you know, when you feel like a weird shiver go up your spine? It's kind of like that, again, times a million. So he's kind of putting us to sleep, as I understood it, so that he wouldn't bother us too much. You guys did not seem to take well to him being around. You were getting twitchy. Yeah, so I think, you know, he's kind of enjoying himself because he gets to travel around and look at things he doesn't normally get to look at. So there's that. Yeah. So, yeah, following us around.
I hate this place.
It's not the place's fault.
Do you find greater Fae in the normal world?
No, but you know, you're part...
I hate this place.
If she goes to the normal world, will we start finding greater Fae there?
And if it weren't for this place, you wouldn't be here.
I hate this place.
Break out your notebook and start writing out hypotheses.
Scribble.
So you explained what we were doing here?
I didn't say everything, but for some reason they didn't quite seem to know what we were doing, even though that's what we've been doing. They've pretty much seen it's. They seem to be bored with what we were doing.
So, if he wants to go to other places, it would make sense that if he helped us, he could get to another place much more quickly.
Yes.
Are you thinking about trying to make further deals with the Fae?
I'm asking why she didn't offer this up to this
Are you suggesting
Domo
that she
guy.
Make further deals with the Fae?
She already made a deal with the Domo guy. The Domo's not a greater Fae.
A major domo.
The major domo is not a...
That's a title.
Yes, I know.
Okay. Yeah. Orym would certainly know this.
And I do, too.
Okay.
But why is she not suggesting this to
really
him?
He's really scary. And he could kill any of you just if on accident, just by forgetting.
The major domo could?
No. The other guy.
Okay.
The major domo.
He's asking you to make deals with the major domo, apparently.
No, I'm asking why she didn't.
Because.
Or at least explain to the greater Fae.
Do you
have the major domo explain to the greater Fae the advantage of this? There's no deals.
You're
asking to interact with the greater Fae.
Orym.
Through the major domo.
Yes, through some sort of medium, you're still asking to interact with the Major Fae.
The only way that I can communicate with him, the Major Domo has to translate, because he kind of just makes this scary noise, and then the Major Domo translates what he's saying to me, and sometimes the Major Domo has to help him understand my words, it seems, because,
Yes.
So... I'd be concerned for all of your safety. Also, and she holds up a finger, I'm not certain that he would, like our quest. Do you get what I'm saying? He's having a fun time out and about. It's really fun for him, you know? It's like, the things that have happened have not, disturbed him. They've kind of pleased him. I'm fairly certain that they've everything that's happened have made him, you know, be more powerful, maybe. Pretty certain he would not enjoy, you know, the status quo, things going back to normal. But if that's what you guys want to do, if you think
just asked if you planted the seed of a suggestion that if we were to somehow ease our completion of this quest, he would be able to move to a different location much faster.
Whereas I don't think that'd be such a good idea. That still sounds awfully lot like dealing with the greater Fae, which
it would be his choice.
But you're still dealing with them, and you yourself are the one who said they was never seen again.
Yeah, I think we've had
too
much
of
that.
That's real bad.
As it is.
Well, I'm sorry, Orym. I was afraid of...
I'm just asking.
Barely speaking to him, because I thought he'd kill us all in any second.
Don't you remember what happened last summer when we was trapped for 4 days for 8 years? Just because we stopped to talk to the other one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's still that.
Brandis, I have a headache. Do you have anything for it?
Yeah, I can get you something.
Thank you.
I basically whip up an Alka-Seltzer.
Yep.
Thing. Yep.
Fizzy.
Fizzy. Yep.
Downing that immediately.
Yeah. Mm, salty.
She wishes it was alcohol. Mm. Thank you.
Oh. Yeah, you're going to have to wait on that now.
All right, so we have a map. I think we should maybe go back to sleep. And, let's go back to sleep. Everyone, sleep, I guess. What? Except for people that are watching.
Yeah, what kind of time has it been?
I guess that's right. It's been like 45 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
Oh, trying to poke guy who's going to ask him how long we've been out.
Yep. How long have you been out? A couple hours.
Okay.
No one has heard that. Or understood it.
Right. Only Kat understood that.
Yeah, and when I'm asking guy questions, I speak in Supernal anyways.
Understand it.
Right. It's been a couple hours since we started.
I thought it just been... I don't know, 45 minutes? Does it seem like... How long does it seem like to me, GM?
It seems like hours to you. To Randus and Orym and Kat and Torque, it seems like only 45 minutes tops has passed.
It feels like hours to me.
That's what Guy says, too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you want to get some rest? We can...
Yes, I do.
We can take over... When need be, we can swap.
Okay.
Cool.
So who's sleeping now? Other than...
Trell! And Torque, apparently.
That sounds good.
All right.
Meantime, give me that map.
She's going to curl up right by Torque and like, basically hug onto his arm.
Before you mess around with the map, how long does it take to disenchant an item?
An hour, I think.
Sounds about right.
Back to Builder. So I think we're going to spend a day or so here. Because I don't think we need to be hauling around a five chain shirts, or five extra shirts, five extra long swords.
Four calling birds, three French hens.
Two turtle doves.
1 hour.
All right.
Component cost 25 GPs.
We're in a death cave.
Yay!
A flower death cave. It'll
seem like days. If we go by the book, Captain, hours will seem like days. All right.
So, we're probably going to be spending the day here.
All right. Still, largely I'd be wanting to look at the map, basically try to see if I can't, from our current experience, try to, advise distances,
pretty well. Give me an Arcana check.
Okay. Brilliant.
Yay! It's a Brian roll.
Feywild is weird. Arcana should be at it. That'd be 21.
21?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. how to put this? It's like, obviously, this is not a comparison to Randa's because his mathematical expertise is much higher, but it's kind of like, how there are formulas like define the circumference of a circle, 2 pi r, but mm-hmm. or whatever, but
2 pi r squared.
But you don't, like, when you're a student, you don't understand what that means, how you can plug things in and figure it out. Like, that's where Randus is at right now with the Feywild. It's like, he's starting to figure out the pattern to patternlessness, but you need things to plug into it, which are probably not going to come up until you are close or on the move and starting to figure things out.
All right.
Like, you kind of, like, you see a map in front of you, and you know the absolute distances between them, but not the relative distances, yeah, which is the important thing.
Okay.
I hate this place.
Later on, with a better Arcana check, you might be able to get a little
more
further
definitive.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have a vague idea of a plan, then.
Good.
Not as concrete as I would like.
I don't think anything's concrete here.
No, that's part of the issue. I'm largely thinking that for the sake of expediency, we might want to split up. Basically, each of us try to go to, I think, these two points may be the closest. Two of us go here, two of us go here, then come back here, meet back up. And hopefully with four pieces.
Problem with that. We have two pieces now.
Yes.
If half of us take one, half of us take the other, there's nothing guarding this cave.
True.
And might I point out that if we do somehow get into a battle with any of these things, I don't think two of us
are going to
be able to handle
that. It's a risk. But, in which case it'd still be, if you don't want to split up, we can go as a group, get
those. I'm just pointing that out. Let the rest of the group decide when they wake up, but.
All right, now, if we want to be done with this sometime in the next century.
Well, that's why I'm concerned that there are so many pieces.
Unless you can think of some way to get them to come to us. That would be amazingly easier.
Can you build a cold magnet?
A cold magnet?
That's what you're asking for. Get them to come to us.
Well, you've got two pieces of magic cold stuff.
Let's see what sort of magical resonances I can find and then reverse.
We'll go from there. The three of us can possibly figure something out. Well,
I'm just saying if we're going to use this as a base camp, that
having something here to ensure that it can't.
Largely, I was just thinking a base camp because it'd be a common location we're all aware of.
Sure. Yeah. And I understand that.
But yeah, I think before we leave this place, we should leave something cold to protect it.
If we do continue to venture forth, probably be better to find something more centrally located for base camp, but for now. Yeah. Or we could always just utilize sendings to contact and determine where to meet up if someone finds something better.
Yeah, because figuring out how to meet up in this place is easy.
Yeah. I don't think easy is part of this job description.
Do you know how to disenchant items, Orym?
I do not.
All right. Give here.
And so what are you doing? Is it 25 per item that you're disenchanting?
Yeah, but then you get more.
Yeah, it's but
so
basically when we disenchant
250?
The item. Well, now when we disenchant the item,
mm-hmm,
we get residuum out of it.
Right.
So we can probably just subtract 25 from the given cost of each item rather than subtracting the 25 ahead of time.
Okay.
Because we have the 25.
Well, essentially it's 250. Oh, by the way, those boots and jacket over there, anything special about them?
You go through them?
I do.
Okay. Walk over, start going through the jacket. Mm-hmm. The jacket is lined.
Is what?
Lined. Oh. And there are compartments inside.
Oh, check them out.
It is packed with magical materials.
Oh my goodness.
All your Eyes of Newt and Blackest Cinder.
Oh,
you know,
Randis,
little
look at this.
Witches, like hag's teeth
components.
And...
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Ooh. Hangnail of evil children?
Yep.
Hmm. Is this a magical to have all this stored in there? Or is it just bulky, like lots of pockets?
It has, basically, it's built... First off, it has lots of pockets. Mm-hmm. Second, it's built to hide things. Yeah. So, like, you can open up the lining.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay, so
and there's stuff in there.
It's not from the Liefeld collection or anything.
Right, right.
That'd be a
it's more of a Lee situation, right. I guess.
We missed the sound of me choking on my soda. Oh,
nice. I wouldn't say we missed that, Bob.
Yeah. So, you guys, there are, and a lot of residuum as well, which brings us up to. That's a lot. 25,496.
Is the total gold?
Is the total
component?
Yes, gold value of the component of the components.
Oh, you factored out the magic items already?
No.
Oh, in the jacket?
In the jacket.
That's just in the jacket. 5,496 components.
Wow.
Yes. So we should be good for rituals.
We're
going to
spend a little more time here. Okay. As a few of us could probably use an upgrade.
All right.
Ket says, touching his amulet.
What would it be to teach? Do you know enchant magic item?
Uh-uh. I don't think I do, no.
If you don't know disenchant, then you don't know enchant.
Yeah, that's true.
But you could teach it to
him. Yeah, I was going to say, what it would be to teach?
It's the exact same as
a market cost.
As a market cost. He has to basically try it out and waste components experimenting.
All right. Well, to disenchant, that's 360.
Real quick, are you guys appropriating the funds?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, Orym has a...
I think at this
tears
point...
tears out the sheet from his binder and puts it in its place.
Like while Trell's asleep.
We owe you.
Just in case.
Basically, it says...
In case you are not all dead.
To all of our friends, you may or may not be dead. We have come upon your camp. We are on a quest, and these items that are here are of use to us. If, for some reason, that you come back and find this note, we apologize in advance.
If
you would like to be reimbursed,
here's a scroll
please
ascending.
Contact us via the scroll ascending, or contact Master Rivendorn.
They can't use a scroll ascending unless
they
have
to know us.
Right. Or contact Master Rivendorn in the... Fields of Autumn. You can hopefully find him at the White Castle, or I'm sorry, the White Stone compound. Sincerely, the Torkeltones.
Did you just send anyone who finds that scroll to attack your parents at will?
No, because first of all, they have to find White Stone, and as you remember, it is well protected.
Kind of dumb lucked into it.
This is.
Orym waited until she was asleep.
Did we wait?
It's just pure eladrinness. How to screw someone over while being completely polite?
The person who was once my father would see the value in keeping the family name intact and pay back anyone
that
who came forward
owed.
That is owed.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to sign actual names?
No, I just signed at the Torkeltones.
Okay.
That's got to be a big enough name, right? Now?
Yeah. Well, there's only two Torkeltones.
And you guys have a bad knack for fighting secret wars.
I guess there's that.
All right, why don't we take a break there?
Despite all the pods
in the Astral Sea?
We plop all over.
You are famous in the Astral Sea.
Oh, yeah.
Better be. But that means that you're big in Tokyo, and nobody knows who you are here.
And let's wrap it up there. Once again, thank you for being part of the Major Spoilers Experience. Thank you to all of our friends over in Tokyo. head over to iTunes, leave a 5-star rating for us if you like. Let us know what you think about the show. You can email us at podcast@majorspoilers.com. Head over to /loot.com and buy some loot. Buy your own Critical Hit t-shirt or 5 of them, like some of our fine listeners have done.
Yeah,
and wear one every day of the work week. Mm-hmm. Tell your boss, hey, I'm showing my love for Critical Hit.
That's right.
And then,
change your personality.
There you go.
With each shirt. One day you can be a very polite jerk. The next day you can be a gambly jerk. The next day you can be a slack-jawed jerk.
Wait, so you can be
you shouldn't
a
talk
haughty
about
jerk,
like
right?
That.
A haughty jerk, right? Oh. The haughty jerk.
A haughty jerk.
That can be your that can be like Wednesday shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Slack-jawed jerk is more of a Monday morning
thing. I'd say that's a Friday thing.
Really? Because I was thinking
like,
more a gambling jerk.
Gambling jerk is more of a
Friday thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then for all your meetings, wear trail shirts.
Yeah.
Because those always go so well when you're wearing a trail shirt.
Because you need to take notes during
Yep.
And for Thursday, when you're actually doing work, there's the Randa shirt. Yep. And oh, by the way, Randa shirt, the most popular shirt at the Slash
Yes.
store.
Yeah. Hardest working man in gaming.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. We will see you again. And remember, make sure all your dice rolls are critical hits.
Remember.
Remember. Because our
always remember to never forget.
We have too many podcasts to keep track of.
It's not cheating if you're not caught or something.
Just remember, it's not cheating if you roll a card.
Just remember the tagline.
The tagline.
Keep your boggles clear.
Because you love top five lists and... Yes.
We like critical hit too.
Yes, and we do criticals.
Yes.
We do
criticals. Until next time.
Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.